The lesson is this. What time is it? What time is it? Well, it's 11:43. You've got 17 minutes. No, not that. What time is it? I did a study on this a couple of years ago now, and I learned some things that I wanted to share with you today. We're familiar with this passage. We're going to read Ephesians in just a moment. It's time to make the most of our opportunity, regardless of our circumstances. This passage, let's read this. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, time to tear down, and a time to build, time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tend to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time for love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Amen. And of course, if you haven't read that passage in the Old Testament, you heard the song years ago, right? But it's a great passage because it basically says there are multiple times in our lives, and they're different.
That's right.
And they're opposite. And sometimes we struggle to understand what's going on in my life. And what's happening with me right now? What should I be focusing on? Some other verses I want to read. Ecclesiastes 8, a few chapters later, he says, there is a proper time and a procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Romans, Paul says this, he says, do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Of course, in the communion today, we remembered this, and so appropriate to, I enjoyed the communion comments and the thoughts so much, and I always think, I do get to travel a bit, we get to be with many churches, I always think about this, that when we remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, we're doing this as a worldwide fellowship. And as I sat here, I thought of our brothers and sisters back home in Colombia. And when I do it in the future, I'll think of you guys. And I think of our brothers and sisters in many places and many parts of the world. But it was at just the right time Jesus died while we were still powerless. And in Galatians, Paul says, let's don't become tired. Let's don't wear out. Let's don't become weary because there is a proper time. At that proper time, the harvest will come.
Amen.
So what time is it in our life? I read this book a few years ago, and it's a great book I want to recommend. I've always got a recommended read or two. But the name is Bruce Miller. It's just a religious book, spiritual book, and it's called Your Life in Rhythm. There's a companion volume that is Your Church in Rhythm. And he talks about the difference between the way we think of this word time. And I learned something. I did not know this before, and it was really intriguing to me, that in the Greek, in the Bible, there's two different words used, two distinct different words that talk about time. There's this word, chronos. Now, this is the one I usually think of. I'm a very mathematical kind of, numerical guy. And so I think this way. And that's used a bunch of times. But chronos refers to time as we typically think about it in the Western world. Cycles of time, annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly, and daily. And these are actually built into nature. They're taken from nature, from the time the sun moves around, or the earth moves around the sun, the seasons, the moon, and causing monthly cycles, the weekly cycle that really is not in nature, but God gave us in the 7 days he created. And then our daily 24-hour as the earth spins on its axis. These are cycles of time. They are recurring time. They're things that happen periodically over and over again. And there's some benefit to studying and learning how we can use that. It's not really the lesson today. But it refers to those are quantities of time. Heartbeats, birthdays, holidays, seasons, all these kinds of things. But the one that really fascinated me was this other word, kairos. Kairos is used more often in the Bible in that passage we read in Ecclesiastes. All those times that he's describing, time to weep, and time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, all those things is this word, what's in Hebrew there, but it's the Greek word, it would be kairos. It's experienced time. It's non-recurring and not predictable. It's talking about the right moment in your life, the opportunity, the season, a fitting time, a suitable time. It is a quality of time, not a measure of a length of time, but a particular period in your life, being born, growing up, getting married, having kids, growing old, and dying. Kairos time. And I want to talk to you today about this quality of time for a few minutes, because this is actually our key passage here, Ephesians 5. Be very careful, then, how you live. not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And some of your translations may translate the word time, because it is kairos in the Greek. He says, making the most of every opportunity, of every kairos moment, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, some context here. Paul has spent 3.5 chapters talking about what we have as Christians, as disciples of Christ. All the great things that we have in the church, basically. Where we sit in Christ. And then in the middle of chapter 4, there's a key passage where he kind of turns and begins to talk that because of this, because of all these things that he gave us, God has put us in Christ and put us in his church. Because of these things, then he begins to describe how we should act and how we should behave in a practical sense in the rest of the chapter. And one of the key verses is talking about the fact in chapter 4 that we learn these things and we can continue to learn and grow. It is significant to me that the word he uses in this passage in Ephesians is not chronos, but kairos. He says, basically, look for the unique opportunities in your special time. It reminded me of the words of Mordecai to his niece Esther in Esther chapter 4, when, you know, she's in the palace and she's been chosen and the edict went out to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai comes and he says, but who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? That's kairos. For such a special moment, for such an opportunity, you're in the right place at the right time. That's also what he's talking about in Ephesians 5. Let's look at what Paul's admonitions are. He makes three. He says, be very careful how you live, understand what the Lord's will is, and make the most of every opportunity. Amen. Let's talk about the first one. Let me back up there. Be very careful how you live. A simple admonition. Be very careful how you live. You know, I think sometimes in our life when we're trying to figure life out, we're trying to determine what to do. You know, Paul is just saying, be cautious. Be careful. Don't react. Be deliberate. Be, one of my favorite words, intentional in your faith and in your walk with God. Be thoughtful, prayerful. Seek input. Get advice. Don't rush into big decisions in the heat of a moment. It often takes the other kind of time. It often takes the chronos time, the passage of time, for God's will to be clear to us. So his admonition is simple. It's just be careful how you live. Be careful as you navigate the waters of life and try to figure out what God is trying to point you to, what he's trying to get you to do. Be careful and utilize all the strategies and skills that you can. He also says, understand what the Lord's will is. I think this one's very important. As we think about, what time is it for me? In other words, what am I supposed to be doing? What is God trying to tell me? What is he trying to direct me to do? What are we supposed to be doing as a church, perhaps? Well, understand what the Lord's will is. There are many things that we don't understand, but there are things that are always clearly God's will. When we are troubled and uncertain about some particular path, either individually or as a family or as a larger spiritual family, let us not forget the things that are crystal clear. Isn't it true that sometimes when we're, you know, going through some challenges or some upheaval that, you know, we start doubting a lot of things? But we need to remember there are things that are always clear. You know, understand what the Lord's will is. It's always time for certain things. No matter what time is going on in our life, no matter what other uncertainties there are, it's always time to be close to God. It's always time to be sure that we're leading and taking care of our families and staying close to our families. There's always time to share our faith and keep an outward focus and build up God's church. There's always time to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves, and it's always time to live righteously. It is never time, no matter what the other challenges that we face, it's never time to abandon God and turn away from God. It is never time to give the devil a foothold to become critical or ungrateful for all that God has given us. It is never time to stop reading our Bible, sharing our faith. It is never time to stop loving each other. These are universals. You know, sometimes when things are so uncertain in our lives and we don't know what God is trying to tell us, we don't know what direction we're supposed to go, again, either individually or as a group of people, we need to remember that there's always a lot more things that stay the same than change. It's easy for us to think, man, my whole life is turned upside down. I don't know what to do. But there are always a lot bigger things that never change. These are some of them. Jesus still died for your sins. Yep. We're still going to heaven. Amen. We still have the Bible. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's so many important things that we just sometimes need to stop and think and realize, you know, yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I don't have all the answers. Yep. I don't see my path, my specific path, totally clearly. But let's step back a little bit and let's understand what the Lord's will is. Amen. There are some things that we do know, and we hold on to those things. That will get us through. Then he says, make the most of every opportunity. And this is the one I realize, because he's talking again about that Kairos moment. Make the most. Now, the way I would have read this passage and did read this passage for years was, you know, cram as much as you can into every moment. Right? Make the most of every opportunity. Get more done. Hey, I like that kind of thinking. That's me. You know, I just, you know, just pile more in. Do more of everything. Right? That's actually the opposite of what he's saying. This is Kairos time. These are unique moments in our lives. And sometimes we just need to realize, I mean, there are things that it's always time for, and there's things it's never time for, okay? But there's other times that you have to choose. You can't do everything. You can't do it all, and you can't do more and more and more and more. But what we often do is we don't recognize the time that we're in. This is exactly Paul's message. He said, you got to understand what time it is. Amen. You got to make the most of the Kairos moments that are before us right now. You got to do the right things at the right time. Amen. Effectiveness is not cramming more stuff into shorter periods of time. It's doing the right things at the right time. In our youth, that's a special time in your lives. My son wanted to go to Africa, and it was awesome. I encouraged him. He's 25 now. He's been there twice. He's been back. But in his life, I thought, okay, when again are you going to have this opportunity? You don't have a lot of obligations. You're not married yet. He had all, you know, I said, for you, this is a good Kairos time. This is a window, a chance. You'll never regret this. He worked. He saved his money. He took that time, and now he's back, you know, kind of rebooting a little bit. He has a little bit of regret sometimes, like, wow, I did that. Now I'm a couple years behind. I'm like, no. I said, you will never regret making that decision and taking that opportune moment to do something. Who knows if you'll ever have that chance again. There are many things like this in our youth. I know you've got some young people. Those are unique times. They are Kairos moments. Take advantage of where you sit in life. Amen. Do the things that maybe you will. This is your best opportunity to do, and make the most of them. As parents, oh boy, big Kairos moment here. We get so distracted and disturbed by so many things, but you've got a few years as a parent. You've got a few years to have the maximum impact and influence on your children. Now, you'll always be a parent, but you have these windows when they're young, particularly in those adolescent years. Those years are so critical. The decisions you make at that time are so life-shaping and important. And you must seize the moment. You must make the most of those opportunities. Sometimes that means not doing something else. Saying, I'll get to that later. And again, I'm not talking about reading your Bible or, you know, sharing your faith. But I may be talking about some activities, some level of activities. Maybe it's even leading something. Maybe it's even, you've got to prioritize. If you're a parent, aside from your relationship with God and your relationship with your spouse, this is the next thing. Amen. You've got to devote yourself and spend that time with your children doing what you need to do. When we go through grief and loss, you guys going through any of this? Yes. Every week, the Columbia Church, I know you guys got some history here. We've been around for a while. We got a lot of veterans in the Columbia Church. Every week, it seems like one or two people losing their parents. And then, of course, you have tragedies on the other end, like Sonny's granddaughter. But those are unique moments. And as hard as they are, the writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's a time for this. There's something about it. From a spiritual point of view, we don't understand. We are so troubled by it. But it's given that time, too. Is given to us by God. We could talk a long time about that. As we get older, kairos moments. You know, I don't quite function like I used to. In my brain, I still look like that picture I put up there. And actually, we do still look a lot like that, you know. So, but anyway, no, that's how I picture myself. But my body doesn't always agree. And I just can't do what I used to do. But, you know, my value is not based upon my activity. And as our lives change, as our health declines, as we go through different stages of life, kairos moments occur. New unique roles come up. Find those moments and find the value in them. In every page and every stage of life, remember, every season we have is from God. We're running out of time here, but I won't, out of Chronos time, but I give you a couple strategies real quickly. We won't have time to talk about them, but these are some strategies that help you evaluate what time is it when we talk about this kairos time. And the number one is a really, really hard one for us. It says release expectations. Sometimes we try to live in a different time than we are in. And that's what's messing us up. We don't recognize. Some young people want to be 30 years old. Why? You know, it's like, don't worry. You know, you'll feel differently then. But sometimes as older people, we want to be younger too. No, whatever stage, whatever phase of life you're in, sometimes in order to know what's going on, in order to know what time it is, you got to release expectations that belong to a different period. And then you need to seize the opportunities that are unique to where you are today. And that will help you do the third step, which is anticipate and prepare for what's coming next. And that, I stole that right out of Bruce Miller's book. There's a lot more in there. We don't have time to go over it, but those are some great ideas there. So what time is it for us? It's time to make the most of every opportunity. I know this is a short lesson. I hope these things will encourage you. You'll study them. But I want to share that I know that this congregation has gone through and is going through some transition. I want to encourage you to remember, when challenging times come, there's always, again, a lot more important things that stay the same. And I just want to say a big thank you to you guys. I want you to hear that. I want to thank you for your faithfulness through the years and what you've done, what you've been a part of in the Atlanta area. I want to thank you for how you serve and how you have done so much, how God, you've let God use you. I want to specifically thank you for being a great home for Richard and Sarah for the last number of years. And I know God has willed that they've moved on, and maybe that wasn't what we wanted, but, you know, God is going to continue to work in their lives in Texas, just as he did here and just as he did in Africa before that. And he's going to continue to work in your lives right here as you move on. I want to thank you for your support and your work on the continent of Africa, which is so dear to my heart. We recently saw the formation of the African Missions Association. I'm going to share some of that with your elders today if we get a chance. But I believe this is going to lead to increased and more equitable levels of support for our 86 churches throughout Africa. But it's your vision, your giving, and your involvement that has been and will continue to be a crucial part of winning Africa. Our vision is to see one day to have a Bible talk within walking distance of every African. Now, we understand that Africans can walk a long way. But still, that is an enormous, inspiring goal. But I know you guys have done so much toward that. And I don't know how much you've gotten thanked for that. You deserve gratitude. And I just wanted to be here as the interim executive director of the African Missions Association. Thank you guys so much for your love for and your support for the brothers and sisters in Africa. As you look for new direction, new direction specifically for some new staff leadership, don't forget the great things God has done and how he's used you. God is not done here at all. This is a great church. This is an inspiring place to be. I've loved worshiping with you today. The best is yet to come. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for a few minutes to share a few thoughts from God's word. And I pray that we'll just get closer as we work together in God's kingdom in the Southeast. Thank you guys very much.
Amen. God's not done with us yet. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, Father. Thank you so much, God, that we have partners in the kingdom that come all over, Father, to preach your word, Father, and to encourage us, Father. And we're deeply encouraged this morning, Father, by Paul and the things that he shared, Father. We thank you so much for time, Father, and how you call us to pay close attention to it, Father, because time is so important, God. You spoke the universe into existence, Father, through your time. I pray, God, that we'll take the time to reflect back on what was preached today, Father, that we'll take the time, Father, to evaluate where we are with you, God, that we'll use the time wisely, Father, and that we'll bring glory to you, Father, with the time that you've given us here on this earth. And that, God, when we finally see you face to face, God, you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, God, because we used our time extremely wisely. So, God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for the message. God, we thank you so much that we can be able to come to you, to worship you, Father, to lift our voices to you, Father, and to say thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.